righty, we're going to, I had you get Matthew, Proverbs chapter 13 in one hand, Matthew 11 in the other. Let's turn to, first to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 with me, if you would. And in verse number 15. Proverbs 13, verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. But the way of transgressors is hard. I want you to think on that for a moment. Then we turn over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28 and following. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What I want you to see this morning is the contrast. It says in Proverbs 13:15, but the way of transgressors is hard. And in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 30, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, The Hard Way or the Easy Way. But before we do, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for being the great God that thou art. I thank you for the Word of God, the King James Bible. Father, now I just pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit to speak and preach only those things that you'd have me to say. Father, bless us with a message, encourage us, lift us up, build us up, help us to be steadfast in the faith. Father, now we commit this time into thy hands, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What we want to see, we have our in our contrast this morning, is what we want to see is a contrast between living for the Lord, as Jesus says, for my yoke is easy, versus living a life of sin, as Proverbs 13:15 says, but the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13:15, amen, tells us, as we just saw, that the ways of transgressors is hard. Now, don't let that word transgressor trip you up. A transgressor is someone who breaks a law. And in Proverbs 13:15, a transgressor means someone who breaks God's law. Or simply put, a transgressor is simply a sinner. The Proverbs 13:15 tells us the way, or the life, in other words, of sinners is hard. In Isaiah, if you turn to Isaiah with me, chapter 57, Isaiah chapter 57 with me, look at what Isaiah chapter 57 has to say about the wicked in Isaiah chapter 57. In Isaiah chapter 57, in Isaiah chapter 57, in verse number 20 and following, Isaiah says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. So Isaiah is using an illustration to describe the wicked this morning. He says it's like the troubled sea. It has no rest, amen, whose waters cast up the mire and the dirt. And we've seen that in the water, have we not? When it's been all stirred up, amen, because of a storm or whatever it may be, it casts up all this mire and all this dirt all over the place. Well, that's the way the life of the wicked. That's the way the life of the transgressor is. There is no rest. There is no peace with God to the wicked. You know, that's the way the life of a sinner is, a transgressor. They're in constant turmoil and trouble. No peace. Always something happening in their lives, amen. You know, you just ask any drunk out there, amen, or anybody that used to be a drunk, what was their life like? Amen. And they'll tell you it was in constant turmoil and trouble. Amen. Trouble that they brought upon themselves. We know, we read this morning that Job said, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. A lot of that trouble as a transgressor, as a sinner, we bring upon ourselves. Amen. You ask any doper out there what their life is like, and they'll tell you it's full of turmoil. Amen. And trouble. They have no rest. They live from fix to fix. Amen. Or better yet, ask the wife of a husband that cheats on her what her life is like. Or better yet, ask the families of those of these transgressors, of the drunk and the doper, amen, what their lives are like. Amen. I can relate to it just as a little boy growing up. And my father was a drunk, amen. And he had trouble with alcohol, amen. In our lives, because he was a sinner, because he was a transgressor, was full of turmoil and trouble, amen. He would come home in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of morning, ranting and raving, and full of the evil spirit that he had put in him through the bottle, amen. The way of the transgressors is hard, amen. The way of the sinner is hard, amen. It's full of trouble and turmoil and fright, amen. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. Families have been destroyed because of the transgressor, because of the sinner, amen. Because of the transgressor, because of the sinner, havoc has been wrecked in our society, amen. Much sorrow has been brought into our society and our world because of the sinner. Because of the transgressor. The way of the transgressor, the way of the life of the transgressor is hard, amen. Contrast this with the life in Isaiah chapter 26 of a person who trusts in the Lord, who lives for the Lord, amen. Look in Isaiah chapter 26 in verse number 3 with me. We just saw in Isaiah chapter 57 that there was no peace with the wicked. The wicked was like the troubled sea that casts up dirt and mire, amen. Look in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the contrast with one who trusts in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, it says in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. What a contrast, what a comparison. Between the wicked, the transgressor, or the sinner, then one who trusts in the Lord, he has perfect peace. Amen. Perfect peace. You know, the Bible gives us many illustrations of transgression, transgressors, and how their lives were hard. I want to look at a couple examples this morning. Number one, Lot. We want to look at the illustration of Lot. We know that Lot was nephew of a godly man who was called by God, by the Bible, the friend of God. That was Abraham. And we see one day that Lot was given a choice, amen, where he and his family would live, amen. And we see in Genesis chapter 13, if you turn there with me, Genesis chapter 13, Lot was given a choice of where he and his family would live. The land had become too small, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot's. And we see in Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 10, Abraham said to Lot, you take first choice, whatever you want, it's yours. And we see in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Here we go, lifting up again, pride. Lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. That's the land that God had given him. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And we see in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So here we have Lot is given a choice of where he's going to live, where he's going to bring up his family, amen. And he chooses to live near the ungodly, near the wicked, near the transgressors, amen. I don't know, maybe he had in his heart that he would be able to reform them. You know, maybe he could tell them about the Lord, amen. But we see that that's not the case, amen, as we go on. This was the worst choice that he could ever made for his life. Lot chose the wicked city of Sodom to bring up his family. And then from then on, life becomes very hard. As Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of transgressors is hard. Then we see in the next chapter of Genesis chapter 14, there's a great battle. There's a great battle. And we see that Lot and his household are captured, amen. In Genesis chapter 14 with me. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 11, there's a great battle, and it says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. Victuals are just supplies and things and so forth and so on, you know, food, clothing, whatever you, it's just a word to encompass everything that people had. And in verse 12, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So we see now that Lot is actually living in Sodom now, because we saw in verse 13 that he just pitched his tent towards Sodom, but now he's right in the city. And there's been a battle, and he's been captured, he and his household and all their goods. Amen. Ever since he made that choice to live in, to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Amen. As he beheld the well-watered plains of Jordan. As he looked at the, we talked about temptation, amen, this morning. The lust of the eyes, amen. The lust of the eyes got him. So here we see that he's in the world. There's a great battle. He's all his family and his goods are captured and taken away. But good old uncle, godly uncle Abraham comes to the rescue. Look at in verse 13. And there came out one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother Eshcol, of the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own household, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now, you think this would have been enough for Lot, that he would have wanted to get out of that city, not have anything to do with it? No. He stays right where he is. He stays right where he is. Now, this is just the beginning of Lot's problem. Lord comes to Abraham, amen, and he tells Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of that city. We know that homosexuality was rampant in Sodom and Gomorrah. Then in Genesis chapter 19, if you turn there to continue the story, the saga of Lot, as we see that the life, the way of the transgressors is hard. His life, amen, became troubled like the troubled sea, amen. No peace, no rest. One thing kept happening after another because he decided to live with the ungodly, amen. We see in Genesis chapter 19 that the Lord sends two angels to warn Lot of the impending destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We find that Lot has already joined up with the inhabitants of Sodom because in Genesis 19, verse 1, we see it says there, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He sat right in the gate of Sodom. What's the big deal about that? Well, there was only some kind of a judge a ruler or some muckety-muck of a city was allowed to sit at the gate of the city, because that's where decisions were made, rules were made, decisions were made on court cases and what have you. So we see that already that Lot had joined himself up to the inhabitants. He had been elected by the people, probably, to a place, either a judgeship, or maybe he was appointed by the city council, or maybe he was on the city council. Whatever it may be, he was in a place of prominence now in this wicked, ungodly city of Sodom. Amen. Anyway, Lot has been living in sin. He has been a poor testimony to his family, because we see this when he goes to warn his son-in-laws of the coming destruction. We want to notice the response of his son-in-laws. Look at in Genesis 19, verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said. Now again, all we know is probably these son-in-laws were men of Sodom, ungodly men. And here, of course, we know Lot was a nephew of Abraham, and we're told we're told later on in the book of Peter that Lot was saved. He was a saved man, and here he was allowing his daughters to marry unsaved men. But anyways, as we go, Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up. Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. They mocked him. They made fun of him. You know, he probably came and he told them, hey, we got to get out of this place. The Lord has told us he's going to destroy it. And they probably looked at him and probably said to him, what's the matter with you? You know, all of a sudden you get religion or something? What are you, a holy roller all of a sudden? You know, all this talk about judgment. Get out of here, man. We don't want to hear that religious stuff. Get out of here. They mocked him because he had a very, very poor testimony. He wasn't living for God. He was living the life of the transgressor. And the Bible, again, we go back to Proverbs 13:15. The way of transgressors is hard. If you're going to live a life of sin, your life is going to be hard, is what we see in the scriptures here. In fact, the day, the place, Sodom and Gomorrah was blown up, Lot and his family actually lingered the day of judgment. Look at in Genesis 19, verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, these are the two unmarried daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And look at what he did. And while he lingered, even though God had brought a warning to them, sent angels to this man, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him out without the city, because of God's mercy. They literally took their hands and pulled them out of that city, amen. That's right, amen. The angels pulled them literally. They lingered. They lingered. They loved that world. They loved that wicked city so much that they lingered, amen. Amen. We got a lot of lingering Christians, amen. A lot of lingering Christians. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. So they barely escape. We see they barely escape. And notice Mrs. Lot. Look at Mrs. Lot in verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So what happened is, you could take Mrs. Lot out of Sodom, but you couldn't take Sodom out of Mrs. Lot. That's the thing here. That's the thing what's happening with the Christians today, amen. They've been saved out of this wicked world, but they're still in the world, amen. And their lives are going to be hard because the Bible says, as we started out in Proverbs 13:15, the way of transgressors is hard. The way of the sinner is hard, amen. Now look it. That's not just the end of it. Let's look at the end of Lot. We see Lot ends up drunk in a cave. And each of his unmarried daughters has a child by him. Let's look at verse 30 in Genesis chapter 19. So we see the general decline of this man, his life. That first decision to go live in that wicked city, to pitch his tent towards it. He didn't even live in the city at the beginning, but he pitched his tent toward it, amen. But he wound up in it. Verse 30 of Genesis 19, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and laid with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also. Go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose, laid with him, and perceived not when she lay down, nor with when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the youngest she also bare a son, and called his name Benami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And let me tell you, the Ammonites and the Moabites, as you read through the Old Testament, were nothing but the thorns in the side of the nation of Israel. They were their worst enemies. And we see this, amen, all this resulted, amen, because this one man decided the way to live the way of the transgressor. Lot had a choice, either to live for God or to live a life of sin. And the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Now, another illustration of someone that was saved, amen, that decided to live the way of the transgressor, was the case of Samson. Samson, he was separated for the Lord's service even before he was born in his mother's womb. We are told that he was to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite was not to drink wine, amen, wasn't even supposed to eat grapes, amen, or any strong drink for that matter, not to touch any unclean thing. If someone died, couldn't touch the body, couldn't touch a dead animal, amen, or to cut his hair. But one day, Samson left to check out the unsaved women. Look it with me in Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, he made a decision one day. Just as Lot made a decision one day, Samson went down, it says in Judges 14, verse number 1, Samson went down to Timnath. He had no place, he had no reason to go down to Timnath where the Philistines were, amen. He had no reason whatsoever. But he went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, the unsaved, amen. And he came up, and he told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore go get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. He didn't want to hear any of that religious. He didn't want to hear about living for God, amen. All he wanted to do was to satisfy his flesh. He went down there. He saw probably one of the most beautiful women in the world down there, this unsaved woman, this ungodly woman, but he didn't care. He lusted after her, and he said, she pleases me well, amen. She pleases me well. We see that he ends up marrying her, this unsaved woman. The marriage lasts about 7 days, amen. He leaves her. After a while, he tries to go back and make up with her, but his father-in-law has already given his wife to one of his Samson's companions. And we see that Samson lives the life of sin. We're told over there in Judges chapter 16 that in verse 1, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot. That's a whore. That's a prostitute. And he went in unto her. So here we are. He's given into. Here's a man that was supposed to be separated unto the Lord, to live for the Lord, even when he was in his mother's womb. Amen. But we saw, amen, that he didn't live for the Lord. He went after ungodly women. He's met up with this whore, and he's gone into and had sexual relationships with her. And then we see in verse number 4 of Judges 16, verse number 4, and it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Delilah. We know what happens with Delilah. Amen. We know this. He meets up with Delilah, and we know the rest of the story. Amen. She gets him to give away the secret of his great strength. Amen. And we see his demise. Look at how he ends up. Here's a man from his mother's womb to be separated to be the servant of the Lord. And this is how he ends up. Because he decided to live the way of the transgressor. The way of the transgressor is hard. Look at in verse 21 of Judges 16. But the Philistines took him. That's Samson. But the Philistines took him, that's Samson, and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Here we find Samson. He's blinded, he's binded, and he's grinding. He's blinded, he's binded, and he's grinding. Because he decided, amen, not to live for God, but to live the life of sin. Finally, Samson kills himself along with the Philistines. Look at it. We're still in Judges 16. Look at in verse 26 with me. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand. Here we have this big hulk of a man. He's blinded. He can't see at all. This little lad is holding him by the hand. Amen. Suffer me, in other words, allow me. That's what suffer means. Allow me, or suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. So here we have this big house, 3,000 people in there. They're making sport of Samson, you know, they're making fun of this once great, you know, hulk of a man, strong man who once took the gates of a city and carried them on his back, amen, who once took the jawbone of an ass and killed a lion, who slew many Philistines, amen. Here he is, this guy now blinded, binded, and grinding, amen. He's in this house, and he asked the Lord, or he asked this little lad, you know, where are the posts that hold up this place? So here he is. He's got his hands on the post. And he says in verse 27 or 28, and Samson called unto the Lord. He said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He had lost his power, his great strength, but he's asking God for one more time, one more revival before he went. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with the left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. But here is a man, again, as Lot did, who decided to live the way of the transgressor, to live the life of the wicked sinner. The way of the transgressors is hard, amen. He ends up blinded, binded, and grinding, and eventually kills himself, takes his own life. He kills others with him, amen. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm sure that when Lot made his decision, the way he should go, that way seemed right in his eyes. Amen. But we saw that it brought death. The same way with Samson. He didn't care what God had to say. He didn't care about his religious upbringing. But I believe in his own eyes that the way he went seemed right in his own eyes. But again, it led to death. The end thereof was death. Remember what the Bible says. For the wages of sin is death. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. The Bible also tells us in the book of Galatians, in chapter 6, verse 7, he says, Paul wrote, be not deceived. That's what Lot was deceived and Samson was deceived. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mark it down. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Both Lot and Samson sowed to the flesh. And both Lot and Samson reaped corruption. Again, mark it down, my friend. The way of the transgressors is hard. But now, I began with two verses this morning. I began with Proverbs chapter 13, 15, the way of transgressors is hard. But also we looked at Matthew chapter 11, in verse number 30 in particular. You know what Jesus said in contrast to that? Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Easy is the opposite of hard. I don't know about you, but I want to live the easy way, not the hard way. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. What is yoke? What is a yoke? Well, we know we've seen a yoke they put on an oxen, but a yoke means, speaks of servitude, of service to God. Jesus says, living for me is easy compared to living a life of sin. Amen. There you go. We see living for God is easy, and living for sin is hard, as we just saw with Lot and Samson. Paul the Apostle suffered greatly for the Lord. He knew what it was to be a transgressor. He knew how his life was before he got saved, how hard it was. And he gave us our testimony of that. In fact, he says in 1 Timothy, as he writes to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is what he says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He could have ended it there, but Paul goes on and says, of whom I am chief. Paul realized before he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior that he was a transgressor, that he was the chiefest of sinners, amen, that he persecuted the church, he had Christians killed, amen, and persecuted, amen. He realized what it was to live the life of the transgressor, how hard it was. But despite all of his sufferings, amen, despite all of his sufferings and persecution, I want you to notice the statement that Paul makes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as you turn there, Paul, what he does is he summarizes all his sufferings that he went through, all the beatings that he took, all the perils that he found himself in, not only perils from people without, but perils at the hand of his own brethren, amen. We have to remember that this Paul the Apostle was once actually stoned and left in the street as dead, amen. They dragged him out, they stoned him, and they dragged him outside the city of Iconium. But we want to see, despite all of these sufferings, And despite all of the persecutions, amen, look at the statement that Paul concludes all these lists of things that he went through. And if you want to read them for yourselves, it begins in verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But he concludes his statement, he says, in verse 30 of 2 Corinthians 11, he says, "If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." He's gonna give glory to what he's going through, his infirmities, if he's going to give glory. "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. If I needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." In the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 12, we see Paul asked the Lord three times to take away a thorn in his flesh. But the Lord basically answers Paul by saying, "No, I'm not going to take it away. You're going to depend on my grace to get you through this life." And look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then I am strong." See, Paul knew that all the suffering that he went through and all the persecution that he went through, that was still all easier. Amen. Living for Jesus Christ was a lot easier than living the life that he lived before as a transgressor, because it was hard. Why was Paul always praising God for his affliction? Because Paul knew something. His vision was a spiritual vision. He had the right focus. He says, "For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." He knew. He could see beyond this earth. Amen. See, the sinner can't see beyond this earth. We have to look beyond the earth and look for the glory that's beyond this earth, that's to come as a result of suffering and persecution. See, Paul knew, no matter what the devil threw at him, it was still easier living for God than for sin, living a life of sin, living the way of the transgressor, because he knew the Bible. The Bible said he had the Proverbs. He could read the Proverbs. The Proverbs said, "The way of transgressors is hard." Amen. But Jesus wrote, "My yoke is easy." Paul said, "I don't want the way of the transgressor. I'd rather have the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, servitude to him." He said, "I'm a prisoner," many times in his epistles, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ." Because he knew that living for Christ, that yoke that Christ said to take upon us, is a lot easier than the way of the transgressors. Paul could come to the very end of his life. He could come to the very, very end of his life. He wrote this just before he was to be killed. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul said, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I pray that you and I can come to the end of our lives and say that. My dear friend, remember, never let the devil tell you it's better living the life of sin instead of living your life for the Lord. Because all it is a bold-faced lie that the devil's trying to tell you. And remember what Jesus said about that devil. Amen. He said about that devil, amen, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." There is no truth in the devil. Remember that. "And when he speaketh a lie, And that's a lie when he tries to tell you that living for sin is a lot easier and a lot pleasurable than living for the Lord. It's a lie. And look at what he says. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's who the father, the devil is the father of lies. And the father of lies, amen, is going to try to tell you and is going to try to tell me to quit, to faint, to give up, to go back living for the things of the world, because it's a lot much easier than living for the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, my yoke is easy. It's either the hard way or the easy way. But it's your choice. You have to make up your mind, amen. Which way do you want, the easy way or the hard way for your life? Let's look at a couple of more verses and we'll end with this, to tie in with this. I want you to get Hebrews chapter 11 in one hand. Hebrews chapter 11 in one hand. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go there first, Hebrews chapter 11, and then Psalms chapter 16 in the other. Psalm chapter 16 in the other. And we're going to close with this, and we'll give you to tie into what we've been talking about this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, Psalm 16. We're going to go to Hebrews 11 first, and in verse 25, talking about Moses now. Hebrews 11, verse 25. We see, or we'll read in verse 24 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is the choice he made. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What I want you to see here, my friends, is the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Okay? They're but for a season. They're just for a time. They're temporary. Just for a little bit of time. Okay? The pleasures of sin for a season. They're but for a little period of time. I want you to see that. Now contrast with what it says in Psalms with me. Chapter 16. See, the way of the transgressor is hard. The devil's going to try to show you the pleasures of sin, how great it is. It's easier than living for God. It's a lot more fun and all that other garbage. But remember, the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Look what it says in Psalm 16 with me, verse 11. Psalm 16, 11. I want you to see this. It's very important. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. David's talking about the Lord now. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We just read in Hebrews 11:25, the pleasures of sin are but for a season, just for a little period of time. But look at this. There are at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures of living for the Lord are forevermore. They're eternal. The way of the transgressors is hard. The way of the sinner, the way of the wicked is hard, amen. Sin, the pleasures of sin is but for a season. Jesus said, on the other hand, the other alternative that you and I have is, my yoke is easy, Jesus said. Living for the Lord is a lot easier than living for sin. And then he says, the pleasures that I will give you for living for me are forevermore. All I can say, the easy way, the hard way, or the easy way, it's up to you. Only a fool would choose the hard way. Only a fool would choose the hard way. Let us stand for a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the word of God and how you've clearly laid out in your word how the way of the transgressor is hard. Living for sin is a hard life. Father, but we thank you that we don't have to live for sin anymore. That we've been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're no longer a servant to sin, but we can be a servant to the Savior. We thank you, as Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Father, it's my prayer that each and every one of us would live for the Lord because our lives are going to be a whole lot easier. Help us not to listen to Satan and talk to us about the pleasures of sin, because we know the pleasures of sin are but for a season, but we know the pleasures of living for the Lord are forevermore. Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to hearts this morning, have its will and its way in each individual lives here this morning. Father, now we just commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.